welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the speed trap of free speech, because you know when you drive by like a little wall somewhere and you look around and all of a sudden you notice, oh wow, there's a cop sitting there. So don't speed. Instead, send money to RBN. That's a much better thing to do. So send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, or phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. They will gladly take your money. They will take it with gladness. All right, so we're doing another one of these things, pre-recorded, because going to have to take a break at some point, go off on a special secret mission. And so what I'm going to at least start off talking about is, as I record this, a couple of days ago, Jeremy and I did a Patrick and Jeremy show in early July. We did, back-to-back. We do these back-to-back things. And we started off, we got into this talk. He thought he was kind of like maybe hitting me out of the blue, but it really wasn't. And he was asking me about being an agnostic. And we're talking about some things. And, of course, he is a genuine certified Christian. And, here's one of the things. Like, he engaged me. I was talking honestly. And it wasn't a debate. And I have these thoughts, that, you know, you have, I'm a big science guy, but I realize there's limits to science, there's limits to what we know, and there's limits to what is probably knowable, and then also much of what we think we know, much as what seems to be true. If you're religious and you're positing an omnipotent creator, it's plausible that the creator might have created the universe or the earth relatively recent, but had included a backstory. You know what I mean? Have you ever gone to a movie? And the movie starts with the characters, maybe they're 35 years old, but they have a backstory. They have a backstory. They did this as a child, or they did that as a teenager, or they went to such and such college. You don't see it. It's the backstory. And the movie was just created with a backstory. I don't know, I was trying to think of something from maybe Willy Wonka, or I don't know, I can't think of anything, but you know what I'm talking about. Dinosaur fossils, right? Does that mean that if you find dinosaur fossils at such and such depth, in this strata of Earth, and it's got, they've got some isotope, I don't know, strontium or whatever it is. I don't know what isotope they used for dinosaur bones. It's not carbon-14. It's some other isotope. And it indicates, 100 million years. Well, that could be that they've been there for 100 million years and that the dinosaur lived 100 million years ago. Or it could mean that God just created the earth with a backstory for whatever reason. And like, I'm a science guy, and so I am going to study and learn that whole backstory. And at the end of the day, if that's what really, really happened, or it was just created that way with that particular backstory. In a way, what difference does it make? I'm still going to learn it. I'm still going to study it. I'm still going to appreciate it. Where were we going with this? Okay, here's one thing. Here's one place I was going. Is, I talk about these things, and it's not, like, okay, so Jeremy's a Christian, and I guess it's fair to say he's evangelical, because he would like other people to be Christian too. And that's fine. I think that's a good thing. And I'm an agnostic, as in I don't know things. And I don't know if I will ever know some of these things. I don't even know if I'll ever have, like, a strong faith one way or another. I don't know. But what I would say is that I'm not an evangelical agnostic. I don't particularly want other people to share my doubts or whatever. I would like people to compartmentalize religion and science and stop seeing them as, like, mortal enemies or rivals or anything like that. To just say, okay, there's scientific knowledge or scientific inquiry, and there's, you know, maybe religious or theological knowledge or inquiry, and they both have their roles. I think you can get a lot of good technology from science. I think you can get a lot of good morality from religion. And personally, I don't want people to have... I think, actually, religion has the potential, and probably more often than not, the actuality of making societies stronger. You know, some religions might be duds, but and, you know, you can look at Europe, and even before Christianity, Europe was, there's some pretty awesome stuff going on in Europe, so it's not strictly, like, even Michael Jones seems to think that if sub-Saharan Africa had Catholicism, 1800 years ago, that they would have wound up building cathedrals, 800 years ago. I doubt it. And, Europeans were not building cathedrals before Christianity, but some of the architecture in Rome was almost as advanced, and maybe in some ways it was just as advanced. They were doing... But, that having been said, Christianity and European history for 1800 years, close to 2000 years, pretty intertwined. It's hard to talk about one without the other. It's not that I want people to be agnostic. I'm not an evangelical agnostic. But like I say, I would like... Here's where I'd like some tolerance. I don't even say tolerance. I would like compartmentalization. Now, at some point, some people's... I don't know. I mean, sometimes religious views... Do they... Well, religious views can certainly impact people's politics, right? That's for sure. All right, I'm going to pause for a second and have a think. So, what does it even mean to be right about something that you say happened 100 million years ago or 14.6 billion years ago? What does it even mean to be right? So, getting back to this point, I think that religions have the potential to make society stronger. And I say potential because some, you know, like whatever religion it was that the guy at Jonestown in Guyana, whatever, Jimmy Jones, was that his name? Whatever he was pushing, I don't think that was making people, I don't think that was making society stronger when everybody literally drinks the Kool-Aid and dies. I think that, isn't that where the term drinking the Kool-Aid came from? Because that's what they drank was Kool-Aid laced with arsenic or whatever. But one of the burdens that people carry with them, and I don't know if it's unique to people, I think, you know, maybe elephants and chimpanzees or gorillas, they might have this also, but we know we're going to die, and that's a bummer, right? The fact that you know you're going to die, I don't think dogs understand something about death. You know, they understand dead animals, and maybe, I remember Mr. T, when we had a guinea pig that died, and he saw how upset I was, and, you know, at this motionless little creature. There's something he understood, but it's one thing to say he understood death, but to know that that's what awaits you is a bummer, right? There's some indications maybe elephants know this, because when they come across elephant carcasses or elephant bones, they get really weird. It seems to really affect them. Like bones, elephant bones, in a way that if they're coming across wildebeest bones, it doesn't. So there's something that they... But for sure, humans know this. And, you know, the idea... Like, on the one hand, I remember being a very small kid. I remember being walking around my backyard, certainly at 3 years old. I remember being three. Maybe even, you know, I have some probably fleeting memories from when I was two. But I remember being three as if it was 60 years ago. And it was just only decades ago. But I remember that. And people would, you know, all these, my older brother or my parents or other people were always talking about memories, things that happened a long time ago. And I didn't have much in terms of memories. I mean, it's like, I could remember a few things, but, you know, nothing before that. And the idea that at some point there's just going to be nothing, it's kind of a bummer. Is it true? Well, again, what does it even mean, like, to be true if it's something you can't experience? So you can't experience the Big Bang with any of your senses, right? I mean, or the dinosaurs or whatever, things that happened 100 million years or 14.6 billion years before you were born. You can't get any kind of real direct sensory experience of it. In the same way, you can't really if you're saying there's absolutely nothing after death, you can't actually experience it. What does being right about that even mean? And if it is right, it's a bummer. You know, the idea that, you know, like, what's the world's record for living right now? You know, some people might get to 120. A number of people get to 100. A few people. Usually when you hear about the world's oldest man or oldest woman, it's somebody who's 114, something like that. Mark Dankoff's mom is 102. I don't think she's going to get to 103. She's in a hospice now. But, you know, so as you get up there, and we all have friends who are, you know, in their 80s or maybe 90s, and like, how much time can they expect left? And it's kind of a bummer. And I do know atheists who have been well adjusted, but I have an atheist friend who actually died recently, and I'll say he really wasn't that well adjusted. Now, sometimes I wonder, you know, the types of things that get debated between the science people and the religion people. And so, for instance, the Big Bang. And it's, you know, there's some aspects of it that are kind of ironic. American evangelical Christians, perhaps, don't like the Big Bang because they think it goes against the biblical story of creation, the literal story. And the early Bolsheviks, because some of the early Big Bang theory was coming out of the Soviet Union in the 1920s, and the Bolsheviks didn't like it because it seemed to imply a creator, you know, as opposed to, I guess, the preferred theory at the time was the steady state theory, where you just had a universe that was just always there. And the current Big Bang theory is, what is it, like 14.6 billion years ago? Is that the date that's used, 14.6 billion, something like that? And just based on the direction that galaxies and or clusters of galaxies are currently moving in, and the rate of speed and this and that, and I guess background radiation and whatnot, it seems as if everything came from one point 14.6 billion years ago. And, you know, the thing is, okay, and they've figured out, you know, given the laws of physics, they can wind the clock back, but you get to a point where you've got so much matter in such a small space at such a high temperature that the laws of physics, as they're understood, just couldn't apply. And so, and you know, you're talking about like a minuscule fraction of a second, but yet that's kind of the important fraction of a second. That is the fraction of the second where the Big Bang, aka creation, took place, and that can't be explained. And of course, nothing before that can be explained. When I say explanations don't have to be correct. But here's the other thing. What does it even mean to be correct? How could we ever verify, really, what happened 14.6 billion years ago? You know, there is something of, what is the word for it? Hubris in thinking that we...
you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Teen Titans.
There is something of, what is the word for it, hubris in thinking that we, am I sounding agnostic here? That we can say what happened 14.6 billion years ago. Like the religious people, it's just, well, okay, it's faith. We have scriptures and the scriptures say this happened. So you're just accepting it on faith. I mean, by definition, you're accepting it on faith. And I do say that faith is different from knowledge. But, I mean, what does it even mean, something that happened before humanity even existed? Something that allegedly happened, that you're positing happened before humanity even existed, let alone yourself. Right? Something that happened before life on Earth existed. What does it even mean for that to be true? I'm going to pause, and I will be back. I mean, this is, I suppose, getting into philosophy and metaphysics and other stuff, whatever. You could say that events happened, and they happened just, you know, they happened the way they happened. And there is a truth to that. You could say that. On the other hand, then, you know, you've got all of these, like people have been pondering, well, how do you know? Okay, so there is a truth, but how do you know the truth? Isn't that what epistemology is all about? Isn't that what the Japanese play Dashomon was all about? How about the Heisenberg uncertainty principle regarding, I mean, this is regarding physics. This is regarding particle physics that, if you're talking about, for instance, an electron, you can know its position, right? You could measure its position, or you could measure its velocity, but you couldn't do both at the same time. You could not know both its position and its velocity at the same time. Don't ask me to explain why. As I recall, it has something to do with, in order to measure its position, you're going to impact its velocity, and in order to measure its velocity, you're going to impact its position, or something like that. I don't know. But this issue of how do you even know what the truth is? Okay. And how precisely are we supposed to know the truth? So that's, that's one question. What does it even mean? But now I'm going on to the next question asked by that great public servant and philosopher and all-around good person, Hillary Clinton, who asked, what difference does it make? And one could ask, what difference does it make? That's kind of the next question, all right? Is there a truth? Okay, well, let's just say, oh, yeah, there is a truth. How do you know the truth? Well, maybe you can only know so much of the truth. Maybe you can only know it within a certain parameters. Okay, what difference does it make? Well, sometimes it's going to make a difference. Sometimes less so. I mean, honestly, what difference does it make regarding whether the Big Bang took place, a Big Bang took place 14.6 billion years ago? Aside from the fact that people talk about it and argue about it, is there anything really tangible that knowledge, that proving it or disproving it, what do you get out of it tangibly? You know? There are some things, like in, you know, the speed of light. What's the speed of light? Does that affect most people? Well, I'm sure that most people who have lived throughout history, it hasn't impacted their life, but now in the electronics age, it does impact their life. There's a limit to how fast computer processors can go, the speed of light, right? What is it? So if you're talking about, because I'm an American, I learned 186,000 miles per second. If you're on the metric system, it's more like 300,000 kilometers per second. 300,000 kilometers per second. Kilometers per second. 300,000 kilometers per second. Well, what if you're talking about...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Second, 300,000 kilometers per second. Kilometers per second, 300,000 kilometers per second. Well, what if you're talking about a millisecond, a thousandth of a second? Well, then that's 300,000 meters per millisecond. 300,000 meters per millisecond. Well, what if you're talking about a microsecond, which is a millionth of a second? Then it's 300, not 300,000, but 300 meters per microsecond, 300 meters. Well, now we're getting into 300 meters. That's like 3 football fields, more or less, laid end to end, 300 meters. There are people who can run 300 meters in, about 30 seconds. Okay, in about 30 seconds. Well, speed of light would be 1 microsecond. But the thing is, when you're talking about computers, you're getting down to nanoseconds. So now you're talking about 0.3 meters per nanosecond. That's the speed of light in a nanosecond. And now we're operating in nanoseconds when we have gotten to that point where we're measuring nanoseconds. So 0.3 meters, what's the 0.3 meters? That's 30 centimeters. What's 30 centimeters? That's about a foot. Okay? So you're talking about speed of light in 1 nanosecond goes about 1 foot. Well, look at your desktop, okay? Or even your laptop. Are the distances 1 foot? And of course, that speed of light is the speed of light in the vacuum. But really, we're talking about the speed of light, not the speed of light. When we're talking about electrons flowing, A, the electrons aren't light, and B, they're not going through a vacuum. They're going through some sort of medium, gold or silver or copper, whatever your computer's using. So, so then the speed of light actually does matter to us. So if you've heard me talk before, and probably have, you know, it's my position that, I mean, even I think I said it earlier in this broadcast, that we've got to compartmentalize, that there's useful stuff, useful technology that we're getting out of the science. There's useful principles for organizing society that you get out of religion. And what does it even mean to be true? Here's something I don't think I've said before. You know, Engelbert Poindexter, right? And he likes to sing, and he sings songs. Here's the thing about Engelbert Poindexter. He was actually operatically trained. A lot of people would never guess, but he actually was trained by a very prominent international opera diva. Can you believe it? And this is the thing. This is what's weird. So the diva would tell him to, trying to get a good voice coming out, and say, no, you got to project, you got to open up the top of your head. You got to project through the top of your head. And it was like, well, how do you project through the top of my head? Yeah. Yeah, you open the top of the head. Okay, sing through the top of your head. Now I want you to, bark like a dog. All this weird stuff. But, what was it? Like, open the back of your neck, sing through the top of your head. All this stuff that's like impossible. And yet, if you try to do it, a better voice comes out. Another thing, training in martial arts. My teacher would say, okay, if you're going to do a jump spin kick, you've got to jump first and then spin second. Well, according to physics, if you jump first, okay, now you don't have any angular momentum. How, once you are no longer in contact with the ground, you know, every force requires a equal and opposite force in the other direction, right? Equal and opposite. If you're on the ground, if you start spinning on the ground, you know, your feet are on the ground, and you can exert that force against the ground, and it's got its equal and opposite force against you. If you jump in the air, what are you going to spin against? If you have to start spinning after you've jumped, you spinning against the air, you know, you get very little because the air is not dense. So what are you going to push off of? And yet, so on the one hand, in terms of the physics, in terms of the science, that makes no sense. But in terms of when you're thinking, okay, I'm thinking about jumping. I'm going to jump first and then spin. Guess what? You can do it. Are you really jumping first and then spinning second? No. But if you think that way, you think I'm going to jump first and then spin second, all of a sudden, there you go. You're doing a jump spin kick. And just like with the opera, open up the back of your neck and sing through the top of your head. Well, you're not really doing that. But if you think about it, if you try to do it, then a good voice comes out. Who knew? So, the truth. Acupuncture. Here's acupuncture. A lot of people say acupuncture works for them. Now, the theory behind acupuncture of all this chi going through your body, and, you know, it starts like below your navel and it goes all through your body and this and that. I severely doubt that there's anything to the to this idea of chi. And yet, it works for people. And so, sometimes, I mean, sometimes things work because they're true, but sometimes things work, ideas work, in spite of not being true. So you can have that. And while I know this is RBN, and there's bound to be some flat earthers or what's the opposite of heliocentric, earth-centric people, here's the thing. So you had under the Ptolemaic system, which had the earth at the center of this, what we now call the solar system, what might have then been called the universe, but and it had the sun and the moon and the planets all going around the earth, although there was a lot of complications, especially in the motions of the planets, the outer planets. They were going on wheels within wheels, and it's very complicated, but it worked. I would categorically state it wasn't true, but it worked reasonably well. It worked reasonably well. Now, once, you know, a dozen or more centuries go by, you start getting spring festivals, like what's supposed to be like the end of the winter festivals taking place in the middle of the spring. It didn't work well enough. It worked, you know, if you're just looking at 1 year, it worked just fine. If you're looking at a lifetime, it worked fine, pretty well. But if you're, you know, if you're trying to measure your festivals against the birth of Jesus Christ, and you're in the 15th, 16th, 17th centuries, things got askewed. So it worked pretty well. Not well enough. Copernicus, and when does Copernicus? Copernicus is in the, was he late 1400s or was he in the 1500s? Copernicus was, okay, so Galileo died the year Newton was born, and so that's like 1642, I think, on the Julian calendar or the Gregorian calendar. Galileo would have been born in the 1500s. Kepler was before him. Copernicus might have, I guess he was born in the 1400s and died in the 1500s. Was that it? Anyway, so Copernicus, his system placed the earth at the center, and it was much simpler, and it had the planets, including the earth, going around the sun in circles. Well, that actually did not work as well as the Ptolemaic system, which was much more complicated, and it still involved circles, but it had circles within circles, which, and then sometimes maybe circles within circles within circles, but it was actually closer to what was observable. Well, Kepler comes along, and he's got Copernicus's basic idea, but then he also has Tycho Brahe's data. Tycho Brahe was a Danish astronomer, and did he have an island in Denmark? Then he went off to Prague or something. But at any rate, he had a very excellent observatory. Didn't have a telescope exactly, because it hadn't been invented yet. But it was a very large observatory had all these optical instruments for measuring the position of, you know, stars and planets and the moon and the sun, and could make these measurements very, very accurately. And Tycho Brahe was somebody who was what I guess Freud would call anal, and he got excellent data. But at the end of the day, he wasn't able to figure out things from the data. He got the data. Johannes Kepler got a hold of the data. He had Copernicus's idea, but he also had a lot of like ideas from Aristotle about perfect solids and things like that, the kind of mystical stuff that led him down a lot of wrong holes, but eventually was able to describe the shape of the solar system. Describe the solar system with the sun almost in the middle, not quite in the middle though, but almost in the middle, and the planets going around, including the Earth, the planets going around the sun almost in a circle, but not quite in a circle, going around in an ellipse. And while the circle has one center, one focus, an ellipse has two focuses. And if you wanted to draw an ellipse, you could take string and then tie the string so that it's a loop, and then put down a nail or a tack on a board or a piece of cardboard or whatever, not a nail, two nails, and each one of those nails is the focus, is one of the two focuses. And then you take your pen or your marker or your pencil or whatever, and so you have the loop of whatever size. You could have a big loop. It doesn't have to be a big loop, though. It can be a smaller loop. But you have that loop around both of the nails. So both of the nails are inside the loop. And then you pull the loop tight. You put the pen inside and pull it tight. And then just keeping the loop tight around both nails, you trace what would not be a circle, it would be an ellipse. And depending on the size of the loop, depending on the distance between the two nails, you're going to get ellipses with different eccentricities, right? But that's the shape of the orbit. And most of the planets are in an orbit that's very close to being a circle, but not quite. So the Earth is approximately, I think it's approximately 92 million miles from the sun, and I'm using miles because I'm an American. It's like 150 million kilometers, something like that, but 92 million miles. But I guess, what is it, when we're in January or so, we're actually closest to the sun. And so maybe we're only 91 million miles, and when it's July, I think that's when it is. It's not the equinoxes, it's not the solstices, but it's just some other random day. Well, almost random, but in July or something, we're actually farthest from the sun. But maybe it goes from 91 million to 93 million, tilt of the Earth is much more important than the distance from the sun, and so that's why you have hot weather in the northern hemisphere in the summer. But at any rate, that's how you draw an ellipse, and it took a while, but using Tycho Brahe's data and Copernicus's basic idea, he described the orbits of the planets and comets, for that matter, as ellipses, and placed the sun at one of the two focuses. And then also regarding the speed that the planets go around, we're actually accelerate and decelerate when we're getting closer to the sun, we're moving faster. And when we're farther away from the sun, we're moving slower because the gravity is less. And given in a certain period of time, a day, for instance, if we were to measure the...
Gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know. How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, you know, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
And when we're farther away from the sun, we're moving slower because the gravity is less. And given in a certain period of time, a day, for instance, if you were to measure that wedge that we're tracing out, the wedge that would be described by the amount of distance, the portion of the orbit that we traveled in that one day or that one month, whatever period, and like make a pizza slice going towards the sun, no matter where you are in the orbit, if you're in the far part of the orbit or the slow part of the orbit, the actual area of that pizza slice is going to be equal. Things like that. Anyway, so those were Kepler's laws, and that actually described the movement of the seasons and everything extremely well, and so our calendars are much, much better now. And then Newton was able to give it a mathematical formula using calculus. So, why am I talking about this? Well, the fact is you got something very useful out of it. You got calendars, you've got electronics. At the same time, some people say, well, yeah, but now we're so tiny in a huge universe, it's a bummer. And, well, that could be a bummer, but what's really a bummer is knowing that you're going to die. And maybe some people can be well-adjusted. I think I was mentioning before, I had a friend who was an atheist. He wasn't just an atheist. He was obsessed with atheism and obsessed with death. And he died earlier this year. He was a good guy, but he wasn't particularly well-adjusted. Some people can be well-adjusted, but I think if you look at our Western societies, which really have lost our religion, are we better adjusted now? Probably not. You know, are we really better adjusted now than say 100 years ago? Probably not. We might live longer and in more material comfort. Are we better adjusted? I don't know. Are we happier? Who knows? I don't know. I don't know how to measure that. But are our lives more meaningful with the consumerism? I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you one thing. People are taking a lot more antidepressants now than they were before. I mean, you had neurotic people. Freud, 100 and plus years ago, he had plenty of patients, I think largely women, who were neurotic or hysteric, as I think he was using that term from hysterectomy or whatever. It's the same root word. But here, I don't think that no matter how true the science is, and it does give us technology and it does do a lot for us, but does it make us a healthy, well-ordered society? Does it give people meaning in their lives? I doubt it. So there you go. Did I hit the nail on the head? I don't think so. I did hit a couple of nails and to make that ellipse, but I'll do my best. Anyway, that's it for today, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org today.